Welcome to the Classic Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Chris.
I'm Matt.
And that's not Joel, but it's time to get classy.
Let's do it.
Okay, so Joel is, how does WWE put it, on assignment this week?
Right.
Which is code for...
Exactly.
Which is code for vacation. Joel's dumb self is getting older, and so he decided to take some time away. I don't think I've ever taken off from the podcast for, like, a birthday.
Really?
No. I mean, I've taken it off for, like, other stupid stuff, but never for a birthday.
I mean, I have, like, no way of checking that fact, so I'm gonna assume that's true.
I mean, you could sift through, like, almost 350 episodes of the podcast if you want, but, yeah, I mean, see, you're like us already. You don't want to put forth the work.
That's a lot of work and a big commitment to make. I'll just take your word for it.
So, you, I, and our audience could just assume I'm right.
Exactly.
I will say, it is pretty much a proven fact that Joel has missed more podcasts than I have.
I know that to be true.
Yes.
Yes.
Because this is also a guy who's like, oh, I'm in a play right now. It's tech week, and it's so busy. And I understand that.
It is busy on a tech week.
But he's got a lot of tech weeks. Okay, so Matt is new to you guys, not new to us. He's a friend of ours. You and Joel first bonded over wrestling's producers, right?
That was the first time that I had met someone outside of, like, children that were actual real. Like, he was a real WWE fan, and, like, he introduced
me. Joel's just a tall child.
No, he definitely is. Like,
he's about the same weight as a child.
Right, yeah. and he has that whimsy that children have. And so, he was the first interaction I had with someone who was like, hey, like, I'm really into this, like, so I was convinced to come to SummerSlam last year.
Where we were all introduced to you last. So it's about a 1 year anniversary.
Yes,
for us.
This is.
This is pretty cool. So let's go back to your wrestling origins. Like, when do you remember, like, wrestling first, like, grabbing you?
So it was at WrestleMania this past year.
Okay.
I came to LaserMania, as it were.
I believe it was LaserMania 7.
Right, which, I mean, that's impressive. I do want to point out that I was on the winning team both times.
For laser tag?
And
yeah, we don't count that.
Well, I mean...
Because I'm always on the losing team, so...
Well, so it doesn't count.
We, meaning I, but we don't count that.
I watched all of it, like all the pre-match and all that, and was just blown away. I was so hooked. And I was so hooked that I told Joel and you, I think, you know, to make me a list of every NXT takeover since it started, the beginning of it.
And honestly, like, if that's going to be, like, your first real dive into pro wrestling, that's not a bad way to go. Like, I believe, like, because it was... idea that you kind of pitched to Joel, and Joel, like, made this whole list of, like, not only NXT, but just other stuff that you need to check out, but was, you know, we were all pretty adamant about, like, starting with TakeOver.
Yeah.
I guess it's easy to say that NXT's kind of your favorite at this point.
I mean, it definitely is, but only because all the characters that I know, all of these stars that are really doing stuff now...
Mm-hmm.
I recognize from watching all of these NXTs.
Yeah.
And those end up being some of my favorite people.
Sure.
Because I've gotten to see the growth.
In a lot of those cases, NXT's where you see their best work.
Yeah.
You know? I don't think it's too far-fetched to say that, you know, guys like Finn Balor and Nakamura, like, their best work was in NXT. And, you know, in Nakamura's case, you know, his best work was his first match.
Correct.
You know, and he hasn't really been able to either been able to showcase or been allowed to showcase, you know, that level of ability, I guess. I don't know.
They hurt him so much when he got called up doing all those nut shots. I felt like
really.
I just think it got old. Like I get that you're turning him. You're trying to you know he's gonna be the heel.
Yeah.
But I just thought it got old. Sorry, that was such a tangent.
No, you're fine. You're 100%. This is the podcast for tangents.
I really do like I loved watching him during NXT. I've loved every takeover that I've watched. Some of them I've liked more than others.
Sure. But, my whole, and we've talked about this on the podcast plenty of times, but it completely astounds us just how they seem to get better with each one. Like, you feel like it's almost impossible for the next takeover to beat the previous one or whatever. Of course, that's not always the case, but it's more often the case than not.
Definitely.
It's
like the Ciampa Garganos of it. It's like, I don't believe there could possibly be a better match between these guys. And right. And there's a better match.
And then they do the Chicago one where it's just, it's a Marvel movie, essentially.
Yeah.
And I do feel kind of guilty about that because, you know, then the next chapter of that, I don't know how up to date you are on NXT.
I'm up to date, and so I watch every Raw and every SmackDown, and I watch NXT on Wednesdays here and there, but I watch every single takeover.
Sure.
So I'm still keeping up with it.
Okay. So do you know who the NXT champion is right now?
Is it still Adam Cole?
No, he's the North American champion.
Aleister Black?
Yeah.
Okay, there we go. Yeah, sorry.
Well...
Sorry, I forgot about the news.
I really hate to break it to you.
Did something happen?
For the first time in the TakeOver era, since the time... Because NXT existed as a show before TakeOver.
Right.
But since the TakeOver era, for the first time, the NXT championship has changed hands on a regular episode of NXT.
Oh, shoot. Hold on. I did hear about this.
Uh-huh.
It's Ciampa, right?
It is.
That's right. Yes. I did hear about this.
As some people have put it, he's your new NXT champion.
That is terrible.
And the thing is, like, you know, and go back and watch it because it was a fantastic match. But Gargano came out to interfere to, you know, ruin things for Ciampa, but actually ended up accidentally causing Ciampa to win. So, what was supposed to happen was supposed to start a feud between all three, and that was this past week on NXT. It was a kind of a redemption match for Aleister Black, who's going to go one-on-one against Gargano and kind of get even. And then Ciampa came in to interfere, and everything broke loose. And then William Regal came out, and he's like, he announced the triple threat match at the next takeover between the three of them. Except in real life, the past week, Aleister Black got hurt at a live show, thanks to Ciampa, and will require surgery, and he's gone.
Ugh.
At least, and he won't, it's been confirmed he won't be there for TakeOver.
If he requires surgery, he's not going to be there for a while.
Right. But their way they're writing him off is, they put out, like, after NXT aired yesterday, on WWE's Twitter, they posted a video where they found Aleister Black unconscious in the parking lot. And if, I don't know if you remember this, but the parking lot in NXT is dangerous.
Yes.
Because we still don't know who in the world attacked Hideo Itami back in the day.
That's right.
They just remember
that person
Kevin Owens.
Is still on the loose.
Right? We assume it's Kevin Owens, or at least that was the end, because he's the one that walked by. He was like, what a shame.
But,
now, what they did
but
with,
do we know?
We don't.
We don't.
We don't. The funny thing is, they did, I think they posted this video knowing how the Hideo Itami video went, everyone's like, what happened? Because Regal came out, and I guess he was given an interview on the championship match that he just set.
Right.
And someone came in and was like, Mr. Regal, we need you out in the parking lot. And so he came rushing out the door, and as he was going out the door outside, Gargano was coming in.
Mm.
Just kind of like, excuse me, just walking by.
The exact same thing.
Right. And then, to make things even more interesting and a little bit more funny, is he's walking, but a car gets in Regal's way, so he has to stop, and the car is a convertible with all all four members of Undisputed Era blasting their own theme song going by. And it's like, okay, it could have been them. And then, you know, you go and they find Aleister Black, like, laid out, and of course everyone's like, don't touch him, get a medic. Aleister, can you hear me? Don't touch him. And they keep repeating right. that over and over again. And then, off to the side, you see Heavy Machinery. They're just like, "Oh, that's Aleister Black," and they get out their cell phone. I'm like, what?
What?
What's going on in this video? I don't know if it's supposed to be serious or funny.
Were they trying to set up like it could have been anyone that hurt?
I guess so.
That hit Aleister.
Because, you know,
it's Clue, but it's
because the storyline lately is, you know, Gargano's becoming unhinged because of this Ciampa thing.
Right.
So he could have done it.
Which is great, by the way.
Sure.
It's a great turn.
I don't even know if they're going to do a full turn on it, but it gives Gargano depth.
Agreed. And everything that they throw into that feud is worth it.
Yeah, it's
so worth it.
You can really tell that, you know, that, I think, was 9-10 months that Ciampa was gone with injury.
Yeah.
After they broke up. You can tell that a lot of this was mapped out over the, you know, while he was out for injury. They were planning all this stuff out, it seemed like.
Yeah.
And it's all falling into place very well. But at the same token, like, I can see Undisputed Era doing dastardly heel things, because that's what they do.
No, and they're very good at doing it. There's also a lot of them. There's a lot of the Undisputed Era doing stuff.
And they all
stuff.
Have belts.
Yep.
And except Bobby Fish, who just holds up the little trophy.
And, I mean...
But, you know, he gets something.
Everyone gets a participation trophy.
And then, you know, if it ends up being Heavy Machinery, that'll be an interesting heel turn.
Yep.
But we'll see.
There's a lot of options.
Right.
And they may not have a plan yet.
No.
You know, it may be like
See, that's the thing. They leave out options, knowing they don't necessarily have a plan, but knowing that they could pretty much go down any avenue. They give themselves options. Whereas on the WWE main roster, they have no plan, end of sentence.
Right. There's no plan between...
Hard stop.
Right.
And they don't have
between
really...
Monday, if it's Raw, it stops Monday night.
And they might...
And sometimes it continues through the whole show.
And they might have some good options to go with the story, but the option they end up going with is Roman Reigns.
Ugh.
Nine times.
Can we talk about Roman Reigns for just...
Let's talk about Roman Reigns. Sorry,
can we just... He's the worst. Like, I've watched since WrestleMania, I've watched every single Raw, every single SmackDown,
yeah,
and every single pay-per-view, including the Greatest Royal Rumble, which was so long.
It really was. And that's surprising, because you haven't had to experience the, four-year just getting our heads, you know, beaten over by Roman Reigns is the guy, Roman Reigns is the guy, Roman Reigns. Like, it started... Basically, when he... So the Shield broke up, and then it was very obvious, like, from that point that Roman Reigns was the guy. And he's supposed to have this high-profile match against Randy Orton, I believe, at SummerSlam, and Roman ended up getting appendicitis or an ulcer or something, and he missed pretty much the rest of the year. Barely ever had... He only had, like, a handful of singles matches, and then at the end of the year, they did their award show... which they still did at the time. They stopped doing it since then. It's called the Slammies. And the big award at the end of the night was Superstar of the Year. And they gave it to Roman Reigns, who'd missed half the year. Like, the first few months of the year, he was with the Shield.
Okay. Right.
Then the Shield broke up. He had a couple of singles matches. A couple. And then he missed the rest of it with this injury and recovering from surgery. And they gave him Superstar of the Year. And so at that point, we're like, they really want to go with him. Like, we had suspected it, but that was the, like, biggest, you know, moment. And then that next month was when, you know, he won Royal Rumble, and they were trying really hard to get cheers, and even brought up his cousin, The Rock, to help get cheers, and they still booed, and you... Seeing The Rock look confused, because he's hearing these boos, and he's like, I haven't heard this in over a decade.
Right.
But what is this noise?
Right.
But the fact that...
I get cheered. That's my thing now.
Sure.
I'm The Rock.
Right. And so from that point on, it has been such an uphill battle for WWE to try to get the audience to react to Roman as they wanted it. And we've said time and time again, like, this is the year where we pretty much just, like, fine, you're going to give him the belt. You're going to have him finally beat Brock. Just do it. Just go get it over with. And then, you know, they didn't do it at WrestleMania for whatever reason.
Which they should have.
You know,
which they should have.
The crowd wasn't going to react the way they wanted, but...
The crowd's not going to react the way they want unless they do it on a Monday Night Raw in, like, Plano, Texas. Like, that's
I don't know. Have you
that's played, a place, right?
I don't know. Plano, Texas is a pretty smarky crowd out here.
Plano, no, it's nothing against Plano, Texas,
but
are going to love some Roman Reigns. Like,
go to a remote location of the United States that doesn't have the internet.
That's
so like that's one of the Dakotas or Wyoming or something.
That's
like,
right.
Alaska, I don't know.
That'd be good. Yes, let's do a pay-per-view in Alaska. They're doing one everywhere else.
Yeah,
you know,
I can't remember the last time they actually were.
There's one in Australia. There's
they go to Hawaii like once every few years.
I mean, I'm sure.
I feel like the Alaskan fans would want a show.
Yeah, and
they would be grateful for anybody.
They would, even Roman Reigns.
Right, have a show in Anchorage. Who cares?
No,
but yeah, like the and you know. The perfect time, honestly, would have been the Greatest Royal Rumble because, you know, that crowd there was reacting exactly the way WWE wanted to the entire night.
It was a house show.
Yeah, it was a house show and, you know, it's just they reacted how WWE would want. So have Roman Reigns win there, everyone's cheering, everyone's happy about it, and you move on.
Right.
You know, but they still didn't. Now, you could argue that maybe he was supposed to and the ref botched that call, but I have a hard time believing that.
I just can't believe that. Like, it was, they make so much of a point of the whole, you know, it's whoever's superstar's feet hit the floor, you know.
Right.
They made so much emphasis on it, and, I mean, sure, maybe, I think maybe that it was a botched call, and it was played out that way, but.
And now WWE's trying so hard to, make a monster heel out of Lesnar, you know, to get people to cheer for Roman. Like, okay, anyone but Lesnar kind of thing.
Which, I mean, almost... I mean,
like, I understand that strategy, but...
Roman sucks, but at least he's there every single week. Every week.
And honestly, I've soured on Lesnar just as much as the next guy, but I don't like how this is going. Like, and it's... I don't think it's enough to get Roman cheered. Okay. If WrestleMania wasn't the right crowd to do that in front of, and Saudi Arabia was, do you really think SummerSlam in Brooklyn, New York, is basically the WrestleMania crowd
all
over again? It's the same group of people that can afford those tickets, essentially.
And they're going to boo Roman Reigns.
Because
they don't like Roman Reigns.
No.
And the best case scenario is for Braun to cash in immediately.
Because the fans
will. Yes, and the fans will go nuts if Roman wins and he holds the title for 8 seconds. There will be 8 seconds of monumental boos, and then you'll hear Braun's music hit.
Yeah.
And Braun's going to run out and hit him in the head and then cash in.
Yeah. Now, I will say this. This is kind of like the silver lining of the whole Roman Reigns thing the last few.
Oh, how could there be a silver lining?
No, there is. They're so concentrated on everything Roman, you know, they're so concentrated on, you know, on how they're portraying him, trying so hard fans get behind him and the fans just not doing it, that they haven't really had time to mess up Braun Strowman and letting him basically organically get over with the crowd, even when he was a bad guy and we weren't supposed to like him, you know.
You still liked him.
He was a giant dude that can do awesome things. Why, like, why wouldn't you cheer for that? And he feels like such a genuine goober.
The man who does extraordinary things? Is it the extraordinary man who does extraordinary?
They gave that to Finn Balor.
Yeah, it's something along those lines.
The man who does extraordinary things. Right.
The ordinary man who does extraordinary things. Yeah, that's what it is. But yeah, Braun. I agree.
Yeah,
he's.
I'm starting. However, just a quick tangent. I'm starting to miss, like, Demon Finn Balor.
Oh, he hasn't demoned up since SummerSlam.
No, yeah.
Right? I mean, didn't...
There was that the pay-per-view towards the end of the year. I want to say TLC, maybe? Where...
Did he demon up there?
It was supposed to be him, like, the demon versus Sister Abigail.
Right.
And half of the roster got sick with something going around the... Because that was also the night where we got Weird Uncle... Kurt Angle as part of the Shield, just smiling his dumb little head off, looking so ridiculous. But it was supposed to be him versus Sister Abigail, end up being Demon Finn Balor versus AJ Styles, which, you know, we worked out pretty well on that, but he hasn't demoned up since. Now, I wonder, though, because I had this thought earlier today, because I was watching the Venom trailer, the new one that came out like last week.
Super cool Venom Funko Pops are coming out too, as well, by the way.
Beautiful. Just
tangent.
Love that you have that information.
Plug, I have over 400 Funko Pops. I don't know what that's a plug for other than the sad state of my wallet. But I do have a lot of
them. I mean, you know, as Class Marines are, we celebrate your fandom, so go for it.
of anything. Unless you're my fandom of anything, right?
Unless your fandom is beach balls in the audience.
I dislike that.
Or doing the dumb countdown thing that they did with...
During Seth Rollins and Dolph.
Yeah.
One of the worst things I've ever seen.
So basically, we're all about you celebrating your fandom, except for when you're a fan in the audience.
Got it. I'm in.
Okay, cool.
So, what were we talking
about? But I was curious, like, what... Because, you know, the Venom movie has, you know, been talked about for a while now.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder, because if you, you know, his face paint is very Venom-esque.
Oh. And it is.
I would be worried, like, if they were, like, worried about some sort of, like, copyright situation. You know? I don't really think that, honestly, has... much of a factor in it. I feel like it's more of a, they're trying to get Finn over as a personality without it, like, just as him.
Well, then they need to let him win something and not just keep fighting Baron Corbin.
Right?
That's a small Stephanie McMahon
appointed Constable Baron
Corbin. Sorry. Or something. Stephanie McMahon's, like, personally appointed Constable of Raw, who fights in the ring, who wrestles in a full... slacks and
well, you
a
don't
vest.
Want you don't want him to wrestle without a shirt on because have you seen his belly button?
The derby belly.
Absolutely. Okay, so
I don't know. I want to see him demon up. I think that is one of Finn's
I do like,
best qualities.
If they are saving it for some big thing, then yeah, I'm all for that. You know,
can it be for him winning a title?
Right, but. I mean, I thought for sure he was going to demon up for WrestleMania, but I ended up liking his, you know, WrestleMania entrance and everything this past year more than I thought I would. So, all that being said, in your recent WWE fandom, or wrestling fandom, I should say, have you been met with any sort of negativity or opposition to your fandom?
Well, I'm a fairly, like... wide open kind of person.
Sure.
If I'm into something, I'm into it.
Yeah.
See 400 and some pops.
Yeah.
I kind of throw all in. So, I just kind of worn it as a badge of honor. Nice. I found people at work that are also big WWE fans. They are like in college. Mm-hmm. And I assume that's when like Joel got back into it,
yes.
Right? Like, right. So like I kind of identify with those people, and we smack talk and talk about stuff because one of them, she is a huge Roman fan and now loves Elias, and I'm like, oh goodness gracious! I'm like, to be fair,
Elias is
getting better.
He's pretty entertaining.
He is, and he's getting better. And I haven't watched his documentary yet.
It's.
I've heard it's funny.
It is very funny. It is a fantastic documentary.
So I do love those. But
yeah.
So I've been met with a lot of resistance, other than my family, mm-hmm. who just does not remotely get it because we're a sports family. I'm a diehard Duke basketball fan. I am a sad, sad, sad Washington Redskins fan because
Ooh,
that is sad, right?
It's just because it's worse for you. I'm just going to put this Carolina Blue Narwhal right here.
Thank you.
For you, bud.
I'm a Charlotte Hornets fan. Sad again.
See, here's your problem. Stop cheering for the teams that are closest to you.
Well, I mean,
because I'm assuming you were a Redskins fan before the Panthers came to town, because
well,
that was 1995.
I'm from... outside of DC, so
okay,
like
okay.
I didn't have a choice on that.
Gotcha.
Like,
okay,
we were Redskins fans,
and I mean,
I would be a Panthers fan if I could. Yeah, you don't know how many times I've thought about changing allegiances. You know how hard it is to be a Redskins fan.
I can imagine. I'm a Bears fan, so I can imagine.
the Bears.
Yeah, but at least with the Panthers, you know, I hate Panthers fans. I really do. Now, aside from like Joel and our friend John, you know, because they're very close personal friends. But, like, just random Panthers fans that are weirdly also, like, Golden State Warrior fans, too.
How did that happen? How did...
Steph Curry.
Steph Curry is awesome. Because like,
he's from North Carolina.
Like, right, he's from here, so I guess you just feel
and
like...
And it also happens that, you know, he's on one of the best teams...
ever?
Ever, because of, you know, bankroll.
Right, because there's no salary cap. Yeah. There's no cap.
Well, like, there is a cap, but
they it's not the same as the NFL's sure, cap, sure. Which balance. And anyway, another law. But no, like, real opposition except for my family, who just doesn't understand how I can be into it. And I've had to explain that, like, I'm a musical theater person.
Right.
So when I watch wrestling, I'm watching storyline.
Yeah.
And then I'm watching extremely intricate fight choreography.
Yes.
Take place in the round, which is incredibly difficult.
Yeah.
And I think that's impressive. Now, the stories, and then you have these characters, and I suspend my disbelief. My family just doesn't get that.
Sure.
But it makes sense to me, because I've been doing it my entire life.
It's like, you know, I'm assuming that's how you approach if anyone ever, you know, does the whole, like, you know, it's fake. Right. Like, well, I'm assuming that's your approach.
Right. And then I literally am like, okay, so you know the movies that you go to see?
Yeah.
Also fake.
Yeah.
Like, didn't happen almost all the time.
I think it was a number of years ago where Joel made the perfect analogy where Monday Night Raw is the original Muppet Show. Where it's a show about people trying to put on a show.
Correct.
And everything going wrong.
Right.
And Kermit, like, is going nuts. Like, that's exactly what Monday Night Raw
is. It's a show about a wrestling company.
Right. But yeah, it's theater. Like, you don't go to a stage production of Hamlet, you know, and you assume, like, I know that's Joel.
Right. And I know the outcome, so. Right.
I know Joel isn't actually Hamlet. Like,
right. You know, it's so silly. I look at it as what it's described as.
But I will say, like, it's now becoming, like, more universally accepted than it ever has been.
Clearly. And it's about to go even more so with this massive Fox deal.
Yes.
I mean, it's...
Because Fox just got the Thursday Night Football contract, yeah. I believe.
So they're going to back up Thursday and Friday, and you know every single commercial break... For Thursday Night Football, is going to be talking about WWE pulling in those same names.
You spend $1 billion on it, you're going to advertise like crazy.
Absolutely.
Now, I am going to be, and it's a question that me and Joel have kind of pondered a lot on, you know, the last few weeks on the podcast, you know, is, does that price tag kind of give Fox extra emphasis to kind of put WWE's feet to the fire when it comes to, like, making sure you put out, like, good storylines and, you know...
On SmackDown. Good storylines on SmackDown.
I mean, even with NBC Universals, like, they've ponied up just as much money. Not that they...
For a cable show.
Right, and that's what doesn't make sense to me. For a cable show. I feel like Fox is getting more for their buck.
So much more. Now, they're putting it in a death slot, but if there's a show that would work on network TV, network in a death slot...
It worked. Back when SmackDown used to be on Friday nights,
It was taped.
But it aired on first UPN and then went to CW.
Right.
So it was on cable and it did pretty good numbers for them. And that's why they kept them for so long. And then, you know, they kind of jumped around a couple channels here and there since then.
Okay, so it's not paying $1 billion for something that they foresee failing.
Right. And that's honestly, like, those were years when SmackDown was kind of half effort, you know? So now, with the whole SmackDown, it's live now. We've been told that it's going to continue being live on Friday nights.
A great idea.
And there's more emphasis on SmackDown these days than it ever has been. Now, some would say there was more emphasis, like, a year or so ago. But still...
I mean, SmackDown's been the better show since I started watching wrestling. Like,
I can agree with that. Hands, like, down. It's lost a little momentum lately, but it's still...
This week's show particularly.
Yeah. It's still, I would say, by average, better than Raw.
Yeah.
So,
I think that what you may see is Fox bringing in some of their writing team saying, hey, so we just spent $1 billion on this show.
I don't know if Vince is going to like that, though.
I don't know if he's
going to
like it.
But honestly, like, his hands might be tied. Like, not saying, like, legally they can say no or anything, or they can't say no, but, like, I feel like he's going to feel obligated. And honestly, it's going to be around the time where this XFL thing is going to hit, so he might be willing to give up some creative control so he can concentrate on that.
He got around that, and if this goes well with SmackDown on Friday nights on Fox may be the in for the XFL that he's looking for.
Possibly.
Because they could continue Thursday Night Football.
Well, see, I don't know.
After... Yeah, it's something I'm pretty sure
NFL is not going to like them airing both on the same network. So, at least for those first few seasons.
FS1?
No, I mean, just Fox stations in general. I really don't think NFL would be okay with that. Because, you know, NFL's a fickle beast.
Then it goes to NBC.
Well, I mean, NBC still has Sunday Night Football.
Yeah.
Any one of those stations, like, they're going to have something to say about it. But, I mean, honestly, like, there's so many other venues that they could go that would be good for them. I still feel like it's going to be a, like, online, on-demand kind of situation.
At least for the first year or so. I mean, it'll pick up. It'll pick up some steam, or after a year, it's going to collapse and burn.
Honestly, I know they're wanting to keep them separate and everything, like the company separate, but just put it on the WWE Network.
No kidding. What is it? You already have an online streaming service with tons of users.
Yeah. You just have a separate section for XFL games. You can live stream it on Sunday afternoons and lead straight into your pay-per-views on some Sunday nights. It would be really good cross-promoting, and it would bring more subscribers that wouldn't normally buy the WWE Network.
And so then you advertise it during NFL games. Like, there's so many smart ways that you can make
it. Sure. You can make it work.
But Vince may want to focus on that, and so Fox...
Because, one of the big, I don't know, complaints or whatever about the original XFL was, like, the line between XFL and WWE was getting too blurred there at the end, especially when Reigns was starting to get a dip. Vince was starting to use more and more of his WWE talent, more of just that mindset in general that, you know, bringing out The Rock, doing, like, really, like, at the time, like, skeezy kind of promotional type stuff, like, really cheap gimmicky things to promote XFL. And that, you know, that a lot of people pointed at that as kind of like the death nail to the original XFL. So I don't know if they, like, it seems very, Vince is very adamant of keeping them separate. That's why he took out, you know, a good number of his shares from WWE and used that money to start the new company, which is, you know,
a separate company.
You know, because WWE's owned by his company, I want to say Titan Sports or something like that. And then, you know, Alpha Entertainment or whatever it's called owns XFL now. They might just be very adamant of keeping them separate, but I still feel like the WWE Network would be a perfect way of going about distributing their football. So
at least as a test run.
Yeah, like do it for the first season, get some momentum behind you, then you can use that to shop out to bigger networks from there. So I don't know, we'll see. And if push comes to shove, Triple H can run SmackDown.
Triple H should be running everything in the company right now.
No, well, you say that, but they NXT really
is so good.
It really is. It's
so good, and that's his baby.
It is his baby.
And it's a different crowd.
It is a different crowd, and he's marketing it to a different crowd.
He
very
knows
smart
how to do it.
He is filling a gap in the in what someone would call a neglected demographic. Neglected in the sense of, like, people that aren't happy with WWE's main roster product. But at the same time, NXT, from what I can tell, is all Triple H without Stephanie's input. And on the main roster, especially on Raw, they're very adamant about pushing Stephanie as the new Mr. McMahon character. And that's what they're using. They were using Ronda for that as, you know, her Stone Cold. And Ronda is, you know, obviously very naturally gifted and is just exceeding all expectations in the ring. But as a character, Steve Austin, she is not.
Well, correct.
And I mean, no one should expect her to be that level. Like, because that's Steve Austin at his prime was like years and years and years of honing, you know, his craft and honing, you know, his promo work and everything.
And Ronda's been here for like, you know.
A cup of coffee, essentially.
Right, exactly.
Although
her match this week, I thought it went well.
I thought it went well. Did not, from what I understand, did not do well ratings-wise, but I don't put that on her. Like, it's just WWE, and it's... They haven't, aside from Ronda Rousey, haven't really given the fans much to watch.
No, this is her first time she's had a match.
No, I know. Like, I mean, they were really hoping that alone would bring in large number of people, and it didn't quite do that, but...
What were the numbers on? I mean, low...
I want to say it was a decrease from the week prior.
It was also the quote-unquote main event, which is, you know, bumping up against 11 o'clock.
But at the same time, they also announced ahead of time that her match is going to be against Alicia Fox. And a lot of people that have heard of Ronda Rousey and would be interested in seeing Ronda Rousey in a match, they see it against Alicia Fox and like, who?
Yeah, like, what, who?
But, I mean, honestly, that's the problem with Charlotte being on SmackDown.
Yeah.
You know, now I still feel like they want Ronda versus Charlotte for WrestleMania next year. And I feel like keeping Charlotte on SmackDown for now is a way of, you know, keeping the two separate until that day. So that makes me believe that one of them is going to be champion here soon. I'm probably going to be Ronda because she's on Raw. It's going to be for the Raw Championship because Raw is still the A show in WWE's eyes.
And it's time to take it off Carmella.
Well, I mean, Alexa is the champ.
Sorry.
So I see that happening, and then Charlotte winning the Royal Rumble, and then choosing to go face off against Ronda on Raw for the championship. Or they can do a champion versus champion thing at Survivor Series. Because the Survivor Series, they like to, you know, do the... you know, Raw versus SmackDown, Cinnamon. And they do a lot of champion versus champion matches, not for championship. You know, like, if you beat someone, you don't get their championship. Which I feel like, make it interesting. At least in one case. Like, you can't, like... Because then, like, you know, that one person holds championships for both shows. So you can't really do that, for the most part.
What about this idea?
Mm-hmm.
So, and I've been thinking a lot about this. They did this whole introduction about, I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but there's going to be an all women's pay per view.
You don't say.
Yeah, I don't know if you've been made aware of it.
That's weird.
They haven't talked about it a lot.
No, they haven't.
Other than like every single segment.
And that's happening
October. Yeah, it's happening in October.
And
yeah.
What it's called?
I believe it's Evolution.
Do they know that Triple H was in a team called Evolution?
I think that they have forgotten.
I think so.
They've also already used the name, I believe, as a takeover name.
R Evolution. Yeah. Yeah.
Our Evolution. So that's, I mean...
Okay, so it's kind of a
very
play on words?
I mean, a bit.
But anyway, I'm glad you mentioned that because I heard recently that they're doing an all-women show.
In October? That's fantastic. All Evolution. It's amazing.
Oh, man.
But so they're doing this, and gosh, they have made a huge deal about it.
Yeah.
And then Roman Reigns said that stupid thing when he was talking about, and it was all about the women, and then we got to Roman, and he was like, tonight's all about Roman. And you're like, come on, dude. Like, anyway.
I was like, way to be the first person. Like,
come on.
I agree, like, you know, it was around that point where I was starting to notice that, you know, every segment had mentioned it in some weird inorganic way.
And then Roman mentions it.
And then Roman is the first one not to. I'm like, all right, Roman hates women. All right.
And he's the worst. But anyway, so they're doing this big all women's pay-per-view, and I think it's very much time to introduce a women's league, like a women's tag league.
Yeah.
And I think that you could cross brand that. Every single pay-per-view is now cross branded.
Yeah.
So there will only be title challenges on those pay-per-views.
But I can agree with that because, like, you know, the problem with doing a women's tag division would be scarcity. Because, you know, you don't have enough women on either show to have a show-specific title.
Right.
For each one. But if it is across both brands and there's only one tag title... Yeah, they can pull it off.
And however those tag matches get made, whether it's that you know, it's whoever the GM is, you know, they look at the best team out there on our brand to bring it home, or if it's done by tournament or whatever, either way, you've got that diversity.
Yeah.
You don't have to work as hard. You don't have to provide it as much TV time, which especially on SmackDown, they can't really do.
Yeah.
Even though they have a lot of really good women on SmackDown. And with what is in NXT right now, you could call up several women to really flush out that
right
dual division.
I mean, and that's, you know, that's why, you know, there's going to be NXT matches on Evolution, you know, to kind of fill everything out. I will also like at some point, in that same vein, have almost a mid-card women's belt.
Yeah.
Like the Intercontinental Championship or the US belt. I don't know what they would call it, but I would have that be also cross-branded.
The Evolution belt? They haven't used that enough.
Oh, God, they're going to... Oh, man, I can see them doing that.
The Evolution title.
Why would you put that out in the universe?
I'm sorry. I know that Vince listens to the podcast, so I...
Clearly does.
Dang.
I have so many examples of things that we predicted that come true, and I can't, like, really think of them right off the top of my head.
I'm so sorry if I've done that to us. But no, I think that's a great idea. Give them more to work with.
Yeah.
Your women are one of the women's division is one of the best assets that the main roster has right now, in my opinion. I mean, my wife, who was not at all going to do this, she was like,
yeah,
I love you. I love you for getting into stuff. You're prone to do this. I want you to enjoy it. My wife gets hyped when Becky's music hits. Like, she gets stoked.
Yeah, I'm going to need, because she's going to start coming to pay-per-views.
She's coming to SummerSlam.
All right,
and
yeah,
she was
I need to witness this.
Money in the Bank, too.
Yeah, I
you weren't
there. Yeah.
But she was there as well.
I was on vacation with my mommy.
Remember that time at the beginning of this where you said that, you know, like, Joel... never missed anything.
Joel, okay.
you never missed anything, but you missed Money in the Bank this year.
I rarely miss a podcast.
No, there it is, podcast.
And
it was an important vacation.
It was an important vacation.
Your mom loves you.
She does, and that vacation was a struggle, but that's a whole different story.
which we don't need to get into.
Because it's a wrestling podcast.
Wrestling podcast.
And we don't need to... we don't need to tell a story about how my driving through the mountains made my mom so tense that she gave herself lockjaw. But anyway,
oh my lord,
that's another story for another time.
I mean, so my wife gets hype when Becky's music hit. She texted me Monday and said, "Hey, we watching Raw tonight? ? Smiley face."
I'm like,
a smiley face.
Yeah, like, then you should fire back. It's like, why is that even a question?
That's right. Of course we're watching Raw.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, she was like, excited. So like, they're like,
do you remember,
I think,
like,
the women's division is just such a big deal.
Do you remember what kind of brought her around? Because you said that she wasn't really about this at the beginning.
Becky Lynch. She loves steampunk and Irish. And that is like,
it's a winning combo.
All right, it's a winning combo. And so, she just got into Becky. She loves the music, and that was how she started doing it.
Nice.
Also, I was watching a lot of it, so she would just hear stuff, and
right,
I would need someone to talk to, and
mm-hmm,
Joel wasn't always around, and you weren't always around, so I would talk to her about it. So she just kind of sunk into it, and now is excited, and can talk about the storylines that are going on, and now she's obsessed with Ronda Rousey. Like, she
yeah,
loves Ronda Rousey.
I mean, now that we've seen that she's excelling in the ring, like, now I'm interested, now I'm excited to see her in different matches against different people now. Like, I want to see what she can do.
I'd like to see more matches.
Yeah, I'd like to see what she can do against Sasha Banks, against Bayley, some women on NXT. Like, you know, I would love to see what she can do with Kairi Sane, or however you say it.
Oh.
Or have her face off against her friend with Shayna Baszler. Like,
I love Kairi Sane. I think, gosh,
that elbow is stupid, ridiculous.
So nasty.
Speaking of, they actually started taping the second Mae Young classic last night. Interesting note, the commentary team, bringing back Beth Phoenix, as she did the mixed matched challenge or whatever it was called.
And has been confirmed for Evolution, an all-women's pay-per-view happening in October.
That's weird.
I don't know if you're aware.
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah.
But yeah, Beth Phoenix is going to be on commentary with Michael Cole, which, gross, I was hoping for Mara Rinello, but, you know, whatever. And they're bringing back Renee Young in the commentary booth. And, like, I love her. I love her a lot. I'm very jealous that she's married to Dean Ambrose. But
Who was cleared recently.
Who was cleared recently and is probably coming back anytime now.
Just saying, maybe
something. And I did think it was funny that Michael Cole made a point, like, Seth Rollins can't pick Dean Ambrose this week to be his tag partner because he's out with injury.
He's still injured.
You know, because I'm assuming at that point...
That's what's going to happen here.
He's going to come make the save.
Shenanigans are going to happen at SummerSlam. Or
come and turn heel and cost the title for...
Would also be cool.
Yeah, because he hasn't been a heel on his own yet. So we'll see.
I hope Dolph retains. I love this Dolph and Drew thing so much. Sorry. How did I do?
Drew is so, like, dude is just ripped.
He's unbelievable. And that Claymore kick is...
Brutal.
Just brutal. It is absolutely brutal.
But no, they're bringing Renee back to the commentary booth, which is the first time she's done that since, like, way back in NXT. They had her on commentary for, like, a couple months. And it wasn't working, and she didn't really seem to like it.
So they put her into the...
Well, and they put her back as, you know, the reporter or hosting pre-shows or post-shows, stuff like that, which is her element. She's brilliant at it. It's been a few years, so she's going to give it another try. And she was on the commentary booth when they did the tapings last night. And I'm guessing it went well because they're going to have her as a... She's going to sit in as a guest commentator at some point on Monday Night Raw this week.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I'm assuming... Which
will be in Greensboro.
We'll be in Greensboro, and I hate that I can't go.
Me too.
Yeah. I've got...
Me too.
I got one day of vacation to last me until October.
Yeah, you really gotta space that out better.
I gotta space that out better. And I'm training somebody new, and I can't really... I could take off, but I would feel bad about it. So,
here's my question to you.
Okay.
Michael Cole is you know, going to be on board both for the Mae Young Classic and, as I understand, for Evolution. He's going to be the head one. Why is it not, and I, forgive me, I can't remember his name from...
NXT?
From SmackDown. Jordan? What's his name? The head commentator on SmackDown.
The white dude with the black hair?
Yeah. And the beard.
Tom Phillips?
Tom Phillips. Yeah,
there you go. I mean, Michael Cole
Tom Phillips is a better commentator.
I agree. Michael Cole is just the senior
guy. I get it, but he's just not as good. Sorry.
I know.
Another tangent.
But he is the guy that, you know, he's the guy that WWE can trust.
Sure.
And be like, all right. Because you've also got to, as far as like the Mae Young... Classic goes, he's got to help shepherd these two relatively green commentators, you know, and kind of steer them in the right direction. And he's
the best person for that.
Right. Because, I mean, love him or hate him, when he's not on the commentary, odds are he's in the back with a headset on, help coaching the guys. Like, because he does it. Yeah, because he does it with the NXT guys for the most part. He's, you know.
Oh, does he really? Absolutely. He gets on mic.
I don't want to say he is the person responsible for Mauro Ranallo and what he does, but he's helped kind of hone Mauro on the WWE product.
Mm.
And, you know, some would call Mauro Ranallo, like, I would call Mauro Ranallo the most polished announcer they've got. It's definitely the most excitable.
Yeah.
Like, you could hear, like, if you listen real close to his commentary on NXT, you can hear himself echo in the room.
Right. Which
is, he's so excited. Yeah.
He loves wrestling. Which is why I also love Corey Graves. Because Corey Graves,
yeah,
he loves wrestling.
Yeah.
And he just loves, and you can tell,
yeah,
he is excited to be there always. But anyway, that's
yeah. I would like to see, you know, I mean, because I believe they announced for the commentary for Evolution, this is him and Beth Phoenix.
Corey Graves is definitely going to be there.
Yeah.
Beth Phoenix. And they...
Michael Cole.
And
Michael. Well, that's fine, because that's the same commentary team that they use for Mixed Match.
Right, and that'll be great, because you have to have a heel commentator.
Sure.
Well, and then I wonder if this goes well during Mae Young, during the tapings, if...
Well, or in that setting, you don't really... In a tournament setting, where it's just... And especially when it's a lot of people that are new, and they're just there. This is going to be, like, their kind of one stop in WWE.
Right.
And it's not really pushing a storyline or anything, so you don't really need much of a heel presence. You can just have people who are there just to, you know...
Talk about the match.
Produce the segment, produce the match. Because they did the same with the Cruiserweight tournament. It was just Mauro and Daniel Bryan on commentary, which was adorable because Daniel Bryan doesn't like to swear a lot. He doesn't even like to say, oh my God. He says, oh my gosh.
Really?
All the time.
See, I'm so happy to control myself from swearing on this podcast.
And I greatly admire that.
This is the longest I've gone without swearing in a long time.
No, this is my weekly, like, hour away from saying anything remotely offensive.
So Daniel Bryan, excitable, but doesn't say anything.
No.
Beyond, oh my gosh. Which, by the way, there's big news that we need to talk about with him this week.
With Daniel Bryan? Oh, they announced his match for SummerSlam.
Well, right.
Yeah.
I mean, we knew it was either SummerSlam or WrestleMania.
Yeah, I would have preferred it for WrestleMania, but I will say it would have been weird if they had Daniel Bryan and Miz avoid each other all the way until April, you know?
For 7 months.
It was starting to get weird that they were avoiding each other this long.
Right.
So I'm okay with it. I'm assuming it's going to be I would like it to be a longer storyline to kind of wrap up in the winter.
They also need to give them something to fight for other than just the bad blood. I know that the bad blood is good, but...
Yeah, I mean that's the way that it usually goes. Like I said, like, you know, the Gargano and Ciampa storyline, it's been so amazing, so good. And, you know, did they need the NXT title for it? No, but...
It does make it
better, makes though. It adds that new element. You're not just watching three matches with the same... Fighting for the same thing.
Right.
Like, fighting for...
Now there's something on the line.
Right.
Like there's a thing.
And I'm okay with them going about it. Like, do a couple pay-per-views and then, like, do one of those pay-per-views where there's, like, a big group match for a championship and one of them happens to win the championship and so the next week or the next month is, you know, a one-on-one for the championship kind of thing.
Exactly.
I could see that going that way. And honestly, like, I'd be okay with it because Miz... Even if they have the whole thing for bad blood and not for a championship or anything, I mean, Miz is such a great character. I feel like he can hold it.
He can
hold your attention. Best. Yeah. Speaking of, have you watched any of? Because I haven't had a chance to really mention it. Have you had a chance to watch any of the Miz's new reality show?
So you mean Miz and Mrs. Yes, I actually did Tuesday.
Yeah.
I watched like about 45 minutes, 30-ish minutes after SmackDown ended.
Yeah.
So, I was exhausted, so I went to bed.
Sure.
Wasn't terrible.
No.
I don't love reality TV in general, but he is entertaining enough just by himself.
Yeah, and he seems like a, like, for being, you know, his character that he is on TV, he seems like enough of a down-to-earth guy that, yeah, he's... You know, they're having all the, you know, these quirky family issues here and there or whatever. And, yeah, it's hard to be like, oh, poor him when he's sitting in a freaking mansion.
Right.
But at the same
time... Like every reality show.
Right, but at the same time is, you know, he's still relatable and he's still, like, I don't know, he's still fun.
Oh, yeah. I think it's... As a reality show, am I going to tune in every week? No.
Yeah.
Was it a good reality show? I mean, the 30 minutes that I watched were entertaining, and I think The Miz can just carry stuff. Like you said, I think he can just carry storylines.
Yeah.
So if
I mean, like, the main conflict of this last episode was Maurice had an appetite for $600
right.
truffles.
And so she ate, like, $2,500 or $6,000. It was a nonsense worth of food, right?
Yeah, I mean, like, oh yeah, it's such a problem that she had these $600 truffles that she had two more times in that episode.
Right.
Because they had the one that was delivered to them.
Right.
And then Miz tried to surprise her at the end with them, which I think because he had enough for two, so it was really $1,200 worth of truffles.
Your poor life. You can actually afford to take a $1,200.
And it seemed like a minor inconvenience to you.
And
the whole reason that they had this, that she had to stop was because her, not because of money.
No, they
because
had
the doctor said that, you know, she needed to stop.
Too many truffles.
Yeah. I'm like, okay.
I thought it was good. I'm so excited for Daniel Bryan and Miz, and I don't have the whole backstory. Like, I don't have the venom that you and Joel have based on just that feud and how good it was. I'm just excited to see the two guys go at it.
Sure. And I mean, like, it's such a good payoff because there's so much continuity involved in it. Because this all goes back to the day that Daniel Bryan started on the main roster, like 8 years ago. And it's just carried through. And, like, they kind of revisit each other every once in a while. Not necessarily, like, in a one-on-one feud, but, like, they acknowledge it.
Yeah,
and that's so rare. It's so rare for WWE to acknowledge, like, storyline like that. So I really enjoy that. I love continuity when WWE is actually able to weave that into a current storyline, you know?
As any sci-fi fan, you are a fan of continuity.
That's true.
That's how sci-fi fandom works. You, at least for me. I need continuity.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm excited about the.
The only bad thing about sci-fi and really wrestling, the fans.
the fans indeed.
The fans are the worst.
It's very much, and I'm going to go here. It's very much like Christianity. Like the best thing about it is Jesus, and the rest of it, like the followers, not great. Like
I don't remember.
You can edit this part out if you want to out of this. Matt went religious.
No, I'm okay.
But that's totally
the
thing.
I mean,
this
is the same. Like, every once in a while, I'll do a nice little subtle, not so subtle Trump jab, so I don't care.
That's right. You've got to do a subtle, listen, we're very excited about the WWE being mentioned on Glassy Ring Attire.
And that's the part where Matt made our audience's ears bleed.
I listen every week.
All right. So on that note, let's wrap this bad boy up. Is there anything that you would like to plug? Want people to follow you on Twitter or something?
You can. It's Matt Turner Adams. Follow me on Facebook. I don't think I have anything to plug right now.
That's fair. All right. But we will absolutely have you on again. Mainly once I have this new work schedule and we can get, like, the three of us.
That would be a lot of fun.
Yes.
Oh, actually, real quick, can I predict what's going to happen at SummerSlam?
Yeah, please.
The matches that we have right now.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you what's going down. I think that Alexa loses the belt to Ronda. I think that happens.
Not exactly a bold prediction, but go on.
Hey. I think that Becky Lynch does win, and she wins over Charlotte. I think that she pinned Charlotte.
Oh, wow, okay.
So, that's...
I'm assuming, like, that's part of the reason why I even have Carmella in that.
Or not pinned. She put Charlotte in the disarmor, right.
Yeah.
So I think that happens. I think The Miz beats Daniel Bryan.
Uh-huh. I could see that happening to continue the feud.
Correct.
Yeah.
Because everyone wants Daniel Bryan to win.
Yeah.
And then, do we have anything else?
For some reason, my brain's going to B Team versus.
Hey, I love the B Team. I will be supporting the B Team, and they're.
Have you heard that new?
The new entrance is hilarious.
That new, I don't know. I feel like that's
B Team. B Team, go!
That boy is rough and part of a bygone era that no one gives a crap about.
How could they not tap into this? They're literally wearing T-shirts with Sharpies on them.
No, I love that.
And they're selling them for $30. They're $30 T-shirts, and people are buying them.
Or you could just get a plain white T-shirt and make your own. But you know what?
Here are the two things that I'm going to plug. I'm going to plug the B Team, who I'm a big fan of, and I'm also going to plug something that's not popular, which is Mojo Rawley. I think Mojo is going to be
get out.
I know you're not in. Neither is Joel, but I like Mojo, and I know he lost to Bobby, but I do. I like his intensity. And I didn't see the hype bros. I wasn't around for all that. Intensity.
Even like old school Mojo aside, which was truly awful. All that aside, like, I feel like his like intensity, everything just feels like a just copy and paste bad guy.
I don't know. I just like watching.
I don't know.
I'm sorry. So those are my two things.
Okay.
There you go.
How do you see Roman and Brock going?
Roman wins, and then immediately Braun runs in, hits him. It's going to be a standard cash in. They're going to beat the crap out of each other. I think Roman probably takes a bunch of F5s.
He's going to kick out so many F5s,
and he's going to kick out, and then eventually he's going to hit one spear. He's going to hit one spear and pin Brock, and then he's going to be rolling over, laying on the mat, bloodied. Probably.
Yeah.
And Braun's gonna run in, and Braun's gonna beat the crap out of him. It's not gonna be like he runs in, hits him once, and pins him. It's gonna be he runs in and Roman stands up and Braun beats him up for at least 5 or 6 minutes.
And they could pull it off, because we saw last year with like that year long feud that they did. They can have some knockdown drag out fights that are really good. Like, I feel like that stuff with Braun was probably some of Roman's best stuff, aside from him supposed to be a good guy and losing his temper because he cost himself the match against Braun Strowman in the ambulance.
Right.
And then, you know, he attempted to murder Braun Strowman by backing the ambulance into a truck.
You can't murder Braun Strowman, dude.
You can't. You can't. But he attempted.
He's the monster among men. He's humanist.
But he attempted, and that's a felony.
That's true. That's true. Roman should be in jail. All right, so that's it. That's how I think that ends. All and right. Brock rides into the sunset, and no one misses him at all. All
right, well, I will refrain from making any predictions, because that's going to be our episode next week.
Next week, but those are my predictions.
Everyone stay tuned for that. Joel should be back by then. So
now we can do the wrap-up, I guess.
We can do the wrap-up that I am really stressed about, because I've got to do this all by myself.
Well, you can follow me at Twitter at @MattTurnerAdams and on Facebook at facebook.com/MattTurnerAdams. Keep up. I do a lot of theater in the area.
Mm-hmm.
Keep up with my views on the WWE as it goes on.
Absolutely. And we're going to have them back plenty of times.
I'm sure.
Okay. So you can follow us on Twitter at @CRAttire, where we will live tweet Monday Night Raw, Tuesday Night SmackDown.
Appropriate Sundays.
Appropriate Sundays, one of which is coming up in a couple weeks, and as well as the upcoming TakeOver. So tune in for all that. We didn't even talk about All In.
Oh, dang it.
We didn't even talk about All In. Okay, pause on the plugs real quick. Okay, the big news with All In is they did announce that they are actually going to broadcast it. The first hour is actually going to be on WGN America.
Fantastic.
Which is huge news.
Fantastic.
And it's not going to be like a pre-show or anything. It is part of All In, just they're calling it 0 hour.
And then you can tune in for the rest of it online, right?
You Fight TV.
Okay.
You can do a subscription there, or I think you can do a one-time thing on the, on for that. And if you are subscribed to the Ring of Honor streaming service, I can't remember, Honor Club, I think is what they call it. You can tune in through that. So we're going to watch that. We're going to live tweet it.
That's awesome.
I think we're probably going to end up watching it here at my place.
I do plan to be here. I'm extremely interested to see.
And when I saw them actually say what time all this stuff is, I realized that I need to reschedule my NFL fantasy league draft.
That's fine. This is more important.
Absolutely. And I mean, it's
sold out in Chicago.
It's sold out in Chicago September 1st.
It's going
to
be incredible.
They're starting to put the card together, and I'm really, like, I don't think they've announced what the Kenny Omega match is, but
it's going to be nuts.
I'm excited for what it might be.
They had no clue that this thing was going to blow up like it did. They had no idea. It is clear that they are scrambling to find how to make all of this work.
Sure. But yet they're doing it, they're making it work. And listening to the fans at the same time.
Well, because the fans are excited.
Yes.
All
right. And the great thing about that is because of All In success, I think, is what's leading to Ring of Honor and New Japan teaming up together to do a show at Madison Square Garden the same weekend as WrestleMania, as WrestleMania's in the same city. Like, that takes some brass ones.
There is a big old FU going out to Vince.
Because they were, from what I understand, like, they were supposed to have a show at Madison Square Garden. Ring of Honor was at the end of this year, but WWE pretty much blocked it because of their relationship with Madison Square Garden. So them pulling this off is a big old middle finger and take some brass ones, and they're doing it.
I love it.
And I love it. Because you
competition's
on the same night, you've got that show at Madison Square Garden, which is going to be a super show kind of vibe, going directly against NXT at the Barclays Center.
Right. NXT TakeOver Brooklyn
5.
5?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
We get to get to Brooklyn
now,
NXT shows.
Now the question is, and with do they move that so as not to compete? I mean, there's a lot of things you have to do.
I want to say that they have already announced that I don't think SummerSlam is going to be at Brooklyn after this year.
Okay.
It's been in like the last 4 years.
Yeah.
I think they're moving it. Because it used to be every year at the Staples Center in LA for the longest time. So I think they're moving it. Anyway,
okay.
Going back to plugs, follow us at @CRAttire on Twitter. We'll live tweet everything. And if you have any questions, comments, anything you want us to bring up on the show, send that over to our email. That's classofringattire@gmail.com.
got to give the podcast a rating. If
yes, right. It is on. We are also on iTunes. Easy way for you to catch up on the show, listen to old episodes, stay up to date on new episodes as it comes out every week. Just go to iTunes, search for Class Ring Attire. When you get there, leave a comment on there. Give us a rating of
5 stars.
5 stars. Thank you. It really helps us out. And just like Matt just helped me out with that plug. We are on InsidePulse.com. Leave us a comment on there if we would love to hear from you. There's no if in that statement.
We would love to hear we from would. You.
And finally, we are on Facebook. Follow us on Facebook, Class Ring Attire. Keep up to date with everything going on with the show, with the podcast, with me and Joel. And hopefully coming up with some stuff for Facebook here in the near future. All right. So,
Joel will be back next week to take over all of those announcements.
No, he doesn't.
And plugs again.
Because he would struggle through it too, because he only does half of them. He would struggle just
as much. It's a line back and forth. Exactly. It's a dialogue.
It is a dialogue. Oh, man. So that does it for this week. Joel will be back next week, I promise, and the outro wouldn't be so rough. So, until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah.